Senate committee will now hear from Jacob Lawson, Climate ISS Chief Coordinator. May the record reflect that he was nearly 1 hour late.
Yeah, sorry about that. I literally had to fly in from outer space.
Thanks to a system of satellites, natural disasters have become a thing of the past. We can control our weather.
Mr. President, one of our thermospheric satellites malfunctioned over Afghanistan.
So your proposal is what?
We shut down all satellites.
I don't need to remind all of you how many people died from catastrophic climate conditions.
Make sure there's no further incidents.
I'm going back up to space.
I'm coming back. I promise.
Have a safe trip, sir. Just don't touch anything.
Jake Lawson?
You look much older than I would have thought.
I mean, good. Am I getting fired? My access has been blocked.
So Sally has a bad con, that happens.
Not me, Sally. No one.
This wasn't a malfunction.
It was intentional.
There's potential for catastrophic weather events on a global scale. A geostorm.
Gerard Butler is an engineer who not only came up with the satellite idea, but also designed and built satellites to control the weather and prevent any other future incidents of global warming happening. Well, this is a fuck it. this is a straight up fuck it right off the bat. There's no getting around that fucking territory. Like, it's when you lay out that premise right there, you're just like, who the fuck expects me to believe that? Seriously. Gerard Butler. That motherfucker still looks like he's got stung by the bees in some cheeks, and he's got this overbite with his mouth. Oh, and this film reminds you of that, too, because those close-up shots of his face, they continue to put that in there or whatever. It's like he's chewing on some damn tobacco or something like that. It's the most unappeasing thing I've ever seen. I know this movie had reshoots too, but goddamn, they at least could have told that man either stop working out or stay the same weight that you're at right now, because there's times in this movie where I was like, he looked like a completely different size in this film. But I digress. We're talking about Geostorm here. Movie I just saw in IMAX. I saw an IMAX 3D too at that. I had shit being thrown at me so much it was almost goddamn gonna give me a seizure for a second. I had so much sound and shit blasting from my chair. I was like, why did I decide to watch this in fucking IMAX? Of all places. I guess I said I need to get the whole full feature of the storm itself and contribute to its financial growth this weekend because, well, they didn't give us screens for Geostorm, and I went out of my own way to go watch this film because, you know, I kind of got into an incident last week. I didn't see any movies, so I was like, I got to make it up and catch up with a lot of films this week, and, well, here I am, Friday afternoon, Geostorm. And they don't want you to forget that title neither, because they say that in the movie literally almost 8 times. And 9 times if you want to count the big ass screen with the countdown clock that says until Geostorm. Someone actually programmed that into the computer for it to say Geostorm countdown. I'm assuming that had to have been Gerard Butler because he designed the damn thing. So it's idiot proof basically. Give a plot synopsis here. So in the year 2019, apparently that's when we're fucked by climate change, according to, what's his director's name? First-time directing, too, whatever, a full-length, feature-length theatrical release. Dean Devlin here, who's worked on shitty movies such as Godzilla and Independence Day. Yes, I fucking hate Independence Day. You know what? Now that I think of it, it makes perfect fucking sense, too, because he wrapped up this movie's conclusion with, the computer has a virus. We have to reboot it. This man loves viruses, apparently, in computers. Because he did the same shit in Independence Day. I'm just waiting for the day Will Smith pops up in one of these and just go like, welcome to Earth. Welcome back to Earth or something like that. The Gerard Butler. Either way, though. So, he's here with his dumbass movie and he made Godzilla. And 2019 is the year of destruction to come, where weather is just going to get out of control. So Gerard Butler, get this, people. The movie opens up with Gerard Butler having a congressional hearing conference here with some of America's governments here. And they tell Gerard Butler, hey, you came up with this idea or whatever. And I'm like, you expect me to fucking believe that all the billions of people on this goddamn planet, Gerard Butler was the one that came up. Okay. Movie already took me out of the day. It already took me out of the movie already. I was like, okay. So much, I even had to write that down in my notes. I said, I'm not going to forget this note. But then I had to delete that from my notes because then I said, why the fuck do I need to write that? This movie tells me that six fucking times. Gerard Butler created this design. He's the man. I was like, okay. Gerard Butler don't even write or direct films, and I feel like yet he does, because his movies is always trying to give him like a boost of confidence by boosting his ego up. He's like Scottish or some shit like that? He's like the Scottish, whatever race ethnicity is, version of Tyler Perry or whatever. He just got to keep giving himself compliments around his movies and stuff. And this one's another cock-sucking fest for Gerard Butler here. So they pretty much come to the agreement that they're firing Gerard Butler. His brother, Jim Sturgis, who sucks ass in this fucking movie, he plays Max Lawson. Gerard Butler plays Jake Lawson. They're brothers. I was going to shit on that they had different accents and stuff, but I was like, that's possible. Brothers can have different accents or whatever. I'm not going to shit on that too much or whatever. I mean, you ain't got to be extremely fucking like your brother, you know? Plus, you know, you never know. One could have grew up here, the other could have grew up there, whatever. Different parents, blah, 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 whatever, et cetera, et cetera. So Jim Sturgis have been put in charge. And I forgot the name of the space station that controls this. What is it? Let's see if I can find this. No, they have a name for it, but it's not on this description I'm looking at right here, which sucked. I knew I should have wrote that down. Name is just stupid as fuck anyway. But so they put Jim Sturgis in charge of that. He works for, I don't know, he's like a, let's just say the Secretary of Defense has hired him, so he works under them. Anyway, he works for the government. They never really say what his job title is. And he's been put into charge, and his duty is, well, Jim Sturgis just fired Gerard Butler. Fired him because, well, first of all, the world was, this really just blew my fucking mind. The world's going to shit, right? And Gerard Butler decides to create these satellites to save Earth. Not only does they work and they save Earth, but this whole congressional hearing that they had here, it was basically about you fire satellites into the sky and without our approval or asking us anything. And I was just like, are you fucking serious? This dude saved y'all lives. And you're sitting up here having a meeting, giving him shit about his satellites because he didn't ask for approval. This is in the first goddamn segment of the movie, two people. Like, I'm already annoyed out of my damn mind. I'm just like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. They're giving this man shit and all kind. This is the first time I think in a movie I've ever been on Gerard Butler's side. I was like, I don't really get. They're giving him shit why he created it and how they're gonna pass this off to an international team, is no longer going to be an American project or anything like that. And I'm just like, this is like the stupidest fucking thing ever. Whatever. It moves on here. They fire him. We fast forward 3 years later. And an event of accidents tend to happen. There's one in Afghanistan where 300 people were killed in a little small village because of, let's just say, an incident happened with the geos, I forgot, I don't even know what the hell. This satellite in the sky, it's covered over every country. There's a satellite for every country. And I'm assuming if we fast forward from 2019, 3 years later, well, they say in 2019. I don't know what year this takes place in, and then we fast forward 3 years later. So this, for all I know, could be 2030 by this point, even though there's still shit like guys playing on the original PlayStation 4 and stuff like that in this film. But I digress. And, so, what happens here is they all freeze to death. It's like pretty much whatever happens in other countries. Like, if it's really hot in that country, then they get froze to death. It's really cold in the country, they get burned to death. They're just reverse opposite of the elements here. They find out it's kind of an incident. We meet this one guy who, we don't really know what he's doing, but we later find out, oh, he kind of caught on that someone, like, hacked into the machine, the satellites, and gave it a virus. He ends up getting sucked out of the door. He's get killed on the spaceship. So they decide, hey, we need to hire Gerard Butler back. His brother is the one that's got to go hire him. And he's like, why the fuck would I want to give a shit about that? Even though, whatever, it's my baby, my life's work, I'll go ahead and do that. He's got a daughter. I don't even know why she's in this movie, because there's times you just like, why is she there? And I guess it's just kind of play some emotional sympathy factor. Just like, he promised he'd get back to his daughter. Nothing's going to stop Gerard Butler from getting back to his daughter. So that's the only thing I can really think of in here, because at the end of the movie, I was like, why the fuck is she in this movie? Although I will admit, she's the girl from Annabelle. She was the one with the crutches, the one Annabelle, the doll, took over and stuff. She's actually probably the best thing in this movie. Everybody else sucked ass in this movie. The daughter was actually really good. I was like, you know, this girl is actually pretty good. I was kind of blown away by this. I was like, you know, 5, 6, 10 minutes, whatever the time frame was at this point, whatever. And I was like, okay, she's really good. Everybody else sucks, but, you know, she's really good. Fast forward there, Gerard Butler gets on the ship, and he starts to realize, wait a minute, these aren't incidents or malfunctions or whatever. Someone possibly hacked into the machine here. I gotta find them. I gotta stop them. So this movie really is not an action film. It's a mystery film in some aspects or whatever. And meanwhile, Jim Sturgess' character down on Earth, he starts to figure out the pieces of the puzzle as well. They put stuff together, two and two. He's dating was it Abby Cornish in the film? Yeah, it was Abby Cornish, who sucks ass in this film. She kicks ass, but she sucks ass, if that makes any sense. She kicks ass in her action sequences, but she's just given, she's just one note as hell. Her whole thing is she works for Secret Service under the president, and she can't differentiate between work and personal. So the whole movie, she's just like, I'm straightforward, I do my job. Nothing gets in my way. So it's like that throughout the whole movie. So she has no fucking personality. So she just kind of sucks ass throughout the whole film. But she kicks ass, if you catch my drift here. And, they got to find out who did it. And when they do find out, it was kind of a waste of fucking time, really. So that's your plot synopsis, people, for fucking Geostorm here. Oh, and of course, there's some side plots in here, like Jim Sturgess and Gerard Butler. They don't get along. They've always had a troubled relationship. They try to make you seem like Gerard Butler's a fuck-up, and Jim Sturgess tries to run things and control things. You know, sometimes Gerard Butler needs to listen, blah, 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 etc. A lot of extra subplot drama in here that absolutely just goes nowhere and stuff. Must be a damn geostorm, because it's hot as fuck outside right now. And plus, my allergies are kicking in right now, so it must be hot in this room right now. Either way, though, this movie's boring as fuck. Now, I was expecting just ridiculous, dumb, stupid-ass action, I have to tell you. And don't get me wrong, some of that is here. This movie takes itself way too serious. Like, they try to, in this movie, to be some kind of political espionage film and stuff. They try to get into mystery. They try to get into some thriller moments here. Even towards the end, when Gerard Butler finds out it's one of the dudes on their team, on his team that's supposed to be helping him, it was just so thrown out there. Like, I don't even think there was no build-up to even finding this guy. Gerard Butler, like, they literally tell you... Oh, part of the plot, too, as well, is they gotta find out who this guy is and stop it before the countdown clock goes down and Geostorm hits globally, worldwide. And we got a global incident going on. As soon as the countdown clock comes up, Gerard Butler already punches this dude in the face. And I don't even remember who it was. I really don't really even give a shit, to be honest, neither. And it might have been Robert Sheshon who plays Duncan in here. I can't remember. Either way, though, Gerard Butler starts punching this dude, and they have a fight, and he ends up killing him. And I was just like, what was the build-up to locating that was him? There was no type of tie-in at all. It was like, so why even have... whatever, just throw it in there and stuff. And as I'm watching this, too, a lot of stuff that's going on in here. I mean, that's a lot of shit that's going on, too. To the point that you just don't, you stop caring. But I want to tell you this right now with this guy that supposedly ruined or hacked into the spaceship and gave a virus to all the satellites and stuff like that. This guy, when he asked him, why'd you do it? his line was, people, and I kid you not, he said, well, you know, scientists don't really get paid that much. I'm getting a nice paycheck off it. The fuck? When he said that... I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And even Gerard Butler, I just look at him and said, well, good is that money if the world is destroyed? He just said, I guess we'll just have to find out and see. I was like, okay. So then let's go back to Earth now. We get back to Earth and we find out that Ed Harris, who's in this movie, who's the Secretary of Defense, plays Leonard Deckham in the film. They find out that Deckham was the one that authorized all this to happen in the trade on the president. And the reason why is because, I kid you not, people, he wants to be the president of the United States. So his plan was, when they do the Democratic Convention Party house, whatever, all elected officials will be in one room. He can set a geostorm to hit this area, and then everybody will be dead. So they'll have no choice but to go to him as president of the United States. So you got one dude that's doing it for money, and the other guy's doing it to be president of the United States. A little fucking extreme, if you ask me. I mean, way fucking extreme here. Way extreme. You're already Secretary of Defense. I'm sure you could run for president in the meantime, future, or anything like that. He even comes out with some bullshit. Because I noticed that in this movie, the storms, they only hit in countries that we're probably not allies with. Afghanistan, some Asian countries too. That was towards the end of the film. I was gonna say Tokyo was in there, but that was like, we're cool, Tokyo. But that was towards the end of the film where it just started hitting everywhere, like just fucking up everything and everything. I will say the ones in Tokyo, them hails that was coming down, it was blasting through glass windows and shit. I was like, god damn. Some of the special effects in here look like shit too, by the way. Like 20 years ago, maybe even 15 years, this would have been impressive. But up to today, you're just like, really? Because I got to tell you, when those tornadoes hit, was it Dubai or India? When those tornadoes hit India, I was looking at that and I was like, that looks horrible. That looks straight up horrible. And just like every other film that this man has been involved with producing-wise, Dean Devlin here, he's got to have that dog moment in there. You know, fuck everybody else and the humans and the one dude in Brazil that turned into fucking Iceman and stuff like that. No. It's always got to be about that one dog and a guy trying to get to his dog. And sure enough, that's what happened in here as well, too. We can go ahead and kill everybody else, but that's not fine. This villain's motivation was to be president and for the other one to get money. What in the blue fuck would be the point of any of that if the world is destroyed? Are you a god now where you can recreate? What are you doing, some Vandal Savage shit right here? Like, I was already just blown away at this point, whatever. But when I heard that, I was just like, that's like the fucking icing on the cake right there. And that's towards the end of the damn film here, too. Not to mention, we got the daughter now. The daughter who I gave credit to in her acting abilities for the film here. And I wish I could remember the little girl's name here. But, nah, I don't really give a shit, to be honest. She's narrating the film. It's almost like the film is told from her perspective. Which makes no goddamn sense because it'd be like she's predicting the future here. Especially the way it opens up, you're just like, the man we're going to be talking about is my father. This is his story. And I was like, the fuck? Okay. It's pretty damn bad. It even ends with her narrating, too. And I'm just like, she's barely in the fucking movie. Why is she narrating this? So their plan to stop the virus is, throughout the satellites and stuff, is we need to shut down every satellite and reboot this back from the start. But guess what? This station is going to blow up anyway because the detonation sequence has been set. And they're asking Gerard Butler, why the hell did you put a detonation sequence? He's like, just in case it crashed in the Earth's atmosphere or whatever. It's like, oh, okay. Whatever, I digress, though. So they need the president's fingerprints and his eyes as well to activate this code. He's the only one that can activate it or with access to this. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, hold on. So we're going to shut it down. For about, I think they said, even if we shut it down for an hour or something like that. So, this whole satellite system is the stuff that's controlling the weather and stopping the global warming, if you will. This is what's helping. So they say, don't if you shut this down, shit just gets destroyed then by Mother Nature? I mean, the fact that you can control Mother Nature already, that's like the biggest what the fuck moment of all in this movie here. I know, like, you know, scientists, they even lie, scientists love to play God and stuff like that. But this movie proved that, like, if there's anything to global warming, we should just stay fucked. I mean, the most baffling thing in the movie to me was the fact that somehow in this futuristic movie, so-called, putting that in quotes, or quotations, and We've developed a device to stop the weather from destroying us. Ice caps, tornadoes, hailstorms, earthquakes, fire, volcano, all that good shit or whatever stuff. I don't know how the fuck you control a volcano, but I digress. Even the Earth's core. How the fuck do we control that? That's what happens with the dude. Was that China? I think it was Hong Kong. Yeah, it was Hong Kong, where he's racing the fire explosion in his smart car, which is probably damn near impossible to do. Wouldn't make any damn sense, but I digress. We developed a device for this to stop this. Save the humanity, the human race, if you will. And for some reason, we can't be satisfied with saving the human race. We either got to fuck some people over, make it a political thing, some supervillain. Damn, this is a plot from the Justice League. Whatever. They got a space station in the sky that has a damn laser on it that's shooting from the sky. There is literally some supervillain out there right now, like Lex Luthor, waiting to get his hands upon this shit. He's like, damn, you've already spent your resources and everything to build this for me. I should just go steal this from you. But somehow there's still people that want to take over and use it to destroy the world and stuff like that. That just goes to show me that nobody's going to be satisfied with any goddamn thing. So it's just best when global warming happens, we don't even prevent it. Just let it kill us. Like, we don't deserve to live anymore and stuff like that. It's just, once that happens, it should just happen. Let it be. I've already bought me some nice bottles of alcohol and stuff like that. Well, the day I know that happens and I get hit, because I live by the beach, so I'm assuming the way I go out by global warming, Cody will die by an earthquake. Probably that's what will tear his ass apart, and I'll die by a fucking tsunami or something like that. And I'll just look out my balcony right there, and I'll just stare at the water, and I just sip on this nice fine whiskey right here, and I go like, "Oh, it's a beautiful ride. Take me away now." But as I'm watching this, and they say they have to shut down the satellites and stuff, I'm like, "Well, isn't global warming going to come back then and kill you all?" No. Actually, that doesn't happen. The world just goes back to being a nice civilization. The sun is shining, clouds are out and stuff like that. I'm just even more baffled and confused at this. You know, this movie, for all it's worth, would have probably gotten a pass for just being goofy. Now, I'm not going to lie, I laughed at some parts, because you think that trailer sequence where that dude is running from the fire, shooting out in the ground, breaking up was funny? Oh, it gets even funnier towards the end. That last third act is a goddamn laugh riot, to be honest, in some aspects. And I don't even mean in a good part. I mean in a stupid-ass way. There were some people in my audience that were laughing at some of the lines that some people had to say. Even Zazie Beetz is in here from Atlanta. I thought she fucking sucked in this. I thought she was terrible in some aspects, whatever. She's playing, obviously, the black computer nerd. She's there to do the hacking for you and stuff like that. Basically, she's like another, she's an advanced model of the mystical, magical Negro here. She's going to explain everything to the white man here to understand what to do to fix things here. And that's pretty much what her element part is there for. I thought she was completely fucking useless, just like everybody else in this movie. And I pretty much thought everybody was terrible in here, with the exception of the little girl, who I thought was okay. I gotta say, too, Abby Cornish looks fucking hot in this film, too. Like, there was a scene where she was in her sleeping gown or whatever and stuff, and I was like, God damn, girl. Oof. If you would just smile in this movie and take that resting bitch face off your look or whatever, you'd be, you know, 20 times even hotter here. But I digress, though. So We get this sequence, people, I kid you not, where they kidnap the president or take him, Jim Sturgess and Abby Cornish character, and they're in this car chase, being chased down by a hitman from Ed Harris's character. I mean, that tells you Mother must have really fucking failed. He was like, damn, I gotta appear in Geostorm now. He's like, they're getting chased, and not only are they being chased by Ed Harris's security, but they're also being chased by lightning and thunder. They have to outrun lightning and thunder, which is the most ridiculous shot I have seen in this fucking movie. I was laughing my ass off the way she was swerving around the lightning and drifting and shit. I thought this was a goddamn Fast and Furious movie. Now, somewhere, a new Fast and Furious director, producer, or whatever is watching this. Tyrese, possibly, too, because they have so much input into the Fast and Furious franchise. They're watching this and saying, damn, we need to do this in the next movie. We need to steal this fucking... There's probably some dumbass out there saying, I wonder if we really could create satellites to control the weather or something like that. But somebody's watching this and going, we need to do this in the next Fast and Furious film here. I mean, some of the shit I saw in here with the car chase sequences between the fire, the earthquake, and the way this chick was outrunning the lightning, that blew my fucking mind. I was in laughter in some aspects here. And I was the only one laughing in my theater. I was waiting for somebody to tell me shh or something like that. And I was going to say, oh, fuck you. This is goddamn stupid here. I'm gonna laugh my ass off. And she does some... I don't know how she does this. The car is swerving and moving, but they're not in the car. And it gets blown up by a rocket launcher. Yes, I said that right. Ed Harris shoots a rocket launcher at them. And she somehow manages to sneak up behind him while killing his other guy and sneaking up behind him with the president and saying, you know, you're dismissed, you're going to jail and stuff. Meanwhile, helicopters and cop cars showing up. I was like, where the fuck did they come from in all that lightning storm? Which, by the way, just miraculously went away, too, here. I love how there's another, forget the car chase sequences. There's running sequences, too. That's even funnier, too. There's this chick in Rio, was that Dubai or Brazil? Huh. I don't remember actually now. No, Brazil had the ice and Dubai had the water. That's right. So Dubai had the water. So they're in Brazil. And not to mention, though, Dubai has some hot-ass women out there, too. I think that's going to be my next country I need to visit. You know, Janae always told me I need to take my black ass down there or whatever, but Dubai is just, that was a beautiful damn city here. I got to tell you, I keep watching more movies where they keep getting shots of it, and I'm like, I got to go there. You know, I definitely, that's got to be my next trip. As soon as I get done with all this car and shit and stuff like that, whatever. I'm never going to get this house I want. But, so either way, though, so a lot of beautiful women on this beach of Brazil here. But I'm not a big fan of South America. They got too much shit going on down there. And I mean like bugs and shit that just infect you with all kind of shit that I'm not ready to hear. I'd rather get swarmed by a tsunami than have one of their bugs come and bite my ass or something like that. Anacondas and shit like that or whatever. The ice just comes and freezes everyone away, right? And they're outrunning this shit. This shit was hilarious. When her man got sucked up and she looked behind there and was like, bye, bitch. Oh, shit. That motherfucker turned into Iceman with his hand stuck out. She manages to outrun the ice. Meanwhile, a plane comes out of the sky. And I thought this plane was going to kill her ass. I thought the debris, something was going to kill her, right? No. She manages to not only outrun the ice, but she manages to outrun the big-ass plane that just froze over. And landed right between the crack of these buildings and destroyed everything in its path. Debris is flying off. This girl gets trapped at a dead end. She puts her head down with her hands over. She don't even get a scratch on her. I'm like, what the fuck? How the fuck did she outrun that? And meanwhile, over in India, there's tornadoes and twisters going on and stuff like that. Everything's getting destroyed and stuff like that. This boy that's with this dog hides under a fucking taco cart or whatever it was. That's racist, people. Why would you say a taco cart? I don't know. I've never been to India. I don't know what kind of carts they have out there. I'm from America. Okay, only thing I carts I see out here is the corn man and the taco cart. Oh, and the fruit cart. Can't forget that. Them fruits are fucking delicious. I don't know where they're getting that fruit from, but it's delicious as fuck. Hell, even the taco cart. That taco's fucking carne asada, baby. Oof. Oh, my God. I could eat that all day, baby. Actually, I couldn't. That's a lot of red meat. But either way, though, so he hides under this busted-ass cart that I thought was going to transform into a transformer the way it was moving and shit. This cart doesn't even move. I was like, come on, man. How the fuck do you hide under a cart with two big-ass tornadoes? They look like shit, by the way. And that cart don't even get lifted up into the air. It just wobbles back and forth. I'm like, okay, come. Meanwhile, this dog is like, anybody gonna help me out there? And it's funny too because they're like, oh, we got an hour left before geostorm hits. And I'm like, fuck geostorm. Look at Earth right now. It's being destroyed already. What is geostorm? What's so goddamn important about geostorm? We got tornadoes hitting this country. We got ice, haze destroying this Asian country. We got the water is freezing over and the freeze is spreading through the cities in this country. I'm just like, shit's already being halfway destroyed. Fucking Dubai is underwater and they're talking about we got to prevent geostorm. What about preventing what's happening now? We need to stop what's happening now. No, they're not concerned about that. Ain't got time for that. So then the movie wraps itself up, people, and I kid you not. Gerard Butler, he has to stay behind. And he's got Alexandra Maria Lara in here. She's kind of the station's captain, if you will. She decides, she makes a surprise stay around as well, too. And he's like, I got to stay around because you got to turn it off manually once I get the code from you and stuff. And they have this little heartfelt moment where everybody's crying. And I actually thought, I was like, that'd be something if they killed Gerard Butler. But I'm willing to bet that there's a spaceship or something like that laying around that they escape in. And they have this long, drawn-out-ass sequence, too. Because a lot of this movie is dealt with over FaceTime. And I mean FaceTime on the big screen as well, too. Hologram space FaceTime as well. And they have this long-ass FaceTime sequence, even though they said it's supposed to be 60 seconds. It felt a lot longer than that. And where Gerard Butler ends up sacrificing himself only for the ship to be blown up and destroyed once he stops Geostorm from happening. Him and this captain or whatever, her name is Fassbender in the movie. just saw a shitty Fassbender film, so I when I heard that name, I was like, oh, God, oh, don't remind me right now. And when they escape, they find one of the satellites to escape in. So they hop in the satellite, which is really big, by the way, and they manage to escape. And somehow, some way, there was one spaceship left hanging back, and it was his crew with Hernandez on there. Hernandez, yeah, Hernandez, who works in robotics, and he also says, a Mexican. Mexican flag, baby. He makes that joke at the end or whatever. He points at his flag on his jacket. He's like, Mexico, baby. And I'm just like, okay. He ends up somehow not getting caught in the explosion of this station. He manages to avoid debris, destruction, or anything like that. He just swoops on in and picks them up like it was nothing. And they all land, damn, Independence Day style, too. Land in the middle. Well, they landed it back at their base here, and they have her and him walking away from the ship. They look at each other, except they hug. They don't just fist bump like an Independence Day. No, they hug him and Alexandra here, Gerard Butler. And everybody's running towards them. Jim Sturgis is like, come here, brother. I'm not going to lie. I've got Jim Sturgis because I was like, man, he better not kiss Alexandra because I was like, this would be like the most forced romance there. But him and her and Gerard Butler never made out or anything like that. But I'm not going to lie. Jim Sturgis looked Gerard Butler in the eye. I thought they was going to make out. I thought they were going to lie and say, we're adopted brothers or something like that. We're gay lovers as well, too, because they were arguing at the beginning of this film like they were lovers. And then towards the end of the film, when they were looking at each other in the eyes, I was like, are they about to make out right now? There's something much deeper than brotherly love going on right here. And then the movie cuts off with him hanging out with his daughter and his brother because they patched their life back together. And, Gerard Butler tells, what's her name? Abby Cornish. Welcome to the family. Geostorm Part 2. The day after. Yeah, or the day after Geostorm. Geostorm 2012. Independence Geostorm. Yeah, there you go. I like that one. They're all having a fishing thing, and they talk about, this is boring. Let's go back. And then the daughter starts narrating again. And I had to laugh at some of her narration because I was like, the fuck is she talking about? Like, and I love how they're watching. Okay, mind you, people, everybody at home was watching the news. They're watching this fucking news as if, like, we're about to send a nuke to some aliens and we can, like they're, it's almost like they're watching Iron Man go up into that hole with that missile to see if he could stop the alien invasion damn near. That's what they look like they were watching. But they literally was watching a screen where it's just a shot of a space station. And they're crying in tears. They don't know who survived or not. The daughter's crying. She's like, Daddy's not going to make it. Even though they said everybody's got off the ship now and stuff like that. But then when this spaceship that Hernandez is coming in, she just jumps up for joy, not knowing who is even on the damn spaceship in the first place. I'm like, what are you so goddamn happy about? You don't even know who's on there. Even, what's her name? Zazie Beetz. She's like, oh, yeah. We got him. I was just like, what the fuck? Why is everybody so goddamn happy? They don't even know. There's some random civilians just watching from a computer screen or a TV, and they're just like jumping for joy for no fucking reason. They don't even know why or whatever stuff. Just shit's happening, whatever. And then the movie's got to end with a narration. It's like, it's a really long ass narration too. And it's his daughter. She says, "You can't undo the past. You can only move forward." I was like, what the fuck is she talking about? And then she ends the movie with, "As long as we remember we share one future, we will survive." Bam! That was the music. Geostorm. I was like, what? As long as we remember we share one future, we will survive. Yeah, tell that to that man that's living by the dumpster down the street from my place or whatever. I'm sure he's saying, "Oh, I can't wait to survive this future with you guys." Oh, this movie's a fucking... This movie, like, is straight up fucking... There was, like, nothing positive about this film at all. And I'm sure it would have got a pass, too, had it just, like, just went all out on this outlandish, stupid-ass plot. But no, this movie thinks it's deep and methodical, and it tries to take itself way serious. It has all these, like, political aspects thrown in there, just like... That I'm gonna tell you this right, nobody gives a fuck about. And you know, I'm not gonna lie, I was looking at this chick's ass when we came out of the theater and stuff. She was an elderly woman, or not even like elder, she had to be like in her late 40s, 50s, or whatever, and stuff like that. She's with this dude, they're driving a Porsche. Her ass was huge. I was like, man. And the dude who held the door for me, whatever, he was all muscular and shit, and I was like, I better start looking at his woman, whatever, he fucks me up, whatever. He gets on his phone. And she does too, whatever, and stuff. And they're both, I don't know who they were talking to. They, as I'm walking behind them to my car, or, to a car. Not my car, but to a car. And I just hear them say, "Oh, yeah, sorry, Mr. Call. Got out of Geostorm." And I guess the person asked how it was. And he was like, "It was a good movie, man. It was probably like one of the best I've seen this year." And then I hear her conversation. She's like, "Yeah, it was really intriguing." She was like, "It was a good political conversation to be said in here." Like, she was talking about this movie like it had some goddamn social commentary in this film. And I was just like shaking my head, just laughing, just going like, "General audience are so fucking stupid." I was like... They are so fucking stupid. If you thought this was some good social commentary, slit your fucking throat right now. Please. Like, when she said that, I'm just looking at them and just like, man. Like, you put shit on a screen and throw that to an audience, they'll eat that shit up anyway, though. So, you know what? Fuck it. I gotta get this a low fucking just for that. I gotta get this a low fucking just for that alone. This gotta get the lowest fuckers down. Now, I didn't hate the movie or anything like that, but just that conversation alone just was like, there's no hope for the human race. This movie actually confirmed that there's no hope for the human race here. And especially with the audience I watched, which is a packed fucking theater, too, by the way, too. And this was in their biggest goddamn theater as well, too. Well, it was an IMAX screen, so Cover 2 is gonna be in their biggest screen. But, yeah, I gotta get this a low fucker, just based on the humanity level of stupidity, ignorance here. I almost said stupidness, whatever. I was like, the fuck? Shit, need to throw my ass in that ignorance level in, too. So, yeah, low fuck it for me.
"We have to shut the system down. One has the kill codes is the president. Give me your help."
"You're soliciting Secret Service agents. Seriously? We're kidnapping the president in a self-driving cab."
"Jake, if you can't stop it, no one can." "Three, two, one. Come on, baby."
"You're committing treason."
"Huh? Yeah, I kidnapped the president. I stole state secrets."
"Yeah, anything I'm forgetting, honey?"
"Honey.